Well, it is great to be with you guys today. Beautiful location. I'm a little jealous of this view every Sunday morning. But honestly, in Westchester, I'm glad we don't have it. People pay no attention to me. But I love being here. Coda, I'm jealous. As I was listening to you sing, I'm like, I want that voice. I want that talent. I wish I had it. I don't, but I married talent, so I'm an appreciator of talent. And I've known Dave and Margie a long time. They've actually been very instrumental in our relationship. They were a part of a very important date that my wife and I had. You see, I'd met Teresa originally, actually in Brazil, of all places. I was a missionary there. She was a singer. She came down with the daytime ministry, if you know what that was, from Manhattan. And we were putting on performances, inviting people out to church. I was rather intimidated by meeting someone like Teresa. I had never met a singer that talented. And I was kind of blown away. But I met her. We went on a date, and she wasn't impressed. That didn't help my intimidation level at all. We didn't have a date for 3 years until 3 years later, when I was on my way to Africa to do missions, and took her on a date, and that didn't go well. I actually found out she didn't like sushi. I should have asked her. Then 3 years after that, I moved back to New York, and the first really great date was with Dave and Margie. And we went to Coney Island, and they decided to do that big roller coaster at Coney Island, the one where the wheels sound like they're going to fall off. And I didn't do well with that, but it was a great date, and we had a dinner, and Teresa made a meal. She had been to Thailand. She was singing in Thailand. She came back, and she liked Thai food. Now, she likes to experiment on people, so she said, I'm going to make Thai food. So she experimented on all of us, and she put in so many hot chilies, we all thought we were going to go to the emergency room. But they were part of our wedding. Actually, that date went well. I have to confess it partly went well because I was so incredibly impressed by her cooking. I said, I'm not losing her. But I really appreciate being here. It's great to see so many of you. And I just want to thank you, those that have been in the kingdom for over 30 years. I just want to hold you up. You are pillars in the faith. You are an inspiration. You have been through a lot of wars, and there will be even more wars to come. And yet you fight through them, you are faithful through them, you inspire others, you encourage others, and you inspire me. So thank you for continuing. I have a painting here. This is a picture of something. I want to ask the teens what you think this is a picture of. The teen ministry. You've got teens, scattered teens. How about the teens in the corner? What do you guys think that this is a picture of? I've stumped the jury for sure. Some people think that it's swatches of paint on a wall. Somebody's trying to pick out a new paint color. Somebody said it was somebody's door that got painted three different colors. It's a very interesting thing. Actually, this recently sold for over $87 million. This is actually a work of fine art. I will read Sotheby's description of this from the auction. We have this brilliant piece by Mark Ruthko, an American-Russian abstract expressionist who completed the painting in 1951. This work is a beautiful examination of colors done in an almost pastel style, giving the entire piece a warmth and an emotional expression that is a delight to see. I'm not sure if I connect $87 million and the emotional warmth I get from this. However, but I want to talk about your value today, my value. I just want to talk about value, how we see ourselves, how you see your value. For a lot of disciples, this is the typical day. We prayed, checked. Doing good, read our Bible, actually had a good Bible study, doing good. looking good. Really struggled with lust today. Worthless sinner. I just was so timid today. I just, you know, our value sinks. It's really hard to see our value. We really judge our value a lot every day, actually. We seem to be really good judges of that in our own mind. When all you tend to see is the worthless stuff and all the sin, it's really difficult to sit there and judge yourself. Maybe it's easy for us to judge ourselves, but what happens to our value when we do that? You know, I'd rather study this out from God's perspective than ours, because I don't think we're doing a very good job with this. I mean, how valuable do you feel today? And not how much you think, because we just had communion. So I know what we think. But I want to talk to your heart. How do you feel? What does your heart say? How valuable do you feel? Let's talk about Adam and Abraham here for a minute. How valuable was Adam? Well, Adam was made in God's own image. So how valuable is God? How valuable is Adam? If Adam was made in God's own image, then Adam is incredibly valuable, because now you're looking at value of God. When you're looking at value of Adam, you're tying it in to God directly, because he's made in God's own image. And, you know, things were going actually really well with Adam. He knew that value because he walked with God in the garden. He knew that value. He and God were like this. He was God's man. He was naming all the animals. Eve was right there with him. Things were going great. Value was not an issue to Adam until, well, there was that incident. Suddenly, Adam's value in his eyes was shot. God said, "Where are you?" Adam said, "Well, I was afraid, so I hid." We can now judge what Adam was feeling about his value here. How valuable was Adam at this point? Well, he hid from God. So in his own mind, his value was shot. He just plummeted. His identity had completely changed from one of identifying with God and value of God to, I need to hide from God. I'm really worthless. So Adam struggled with his value. How about Abraham? Abraham also struggled with his value. He kept oscillating between faith and fear. You see, there were moments in Abraham's life when his value was really high in his eyes, because God called him out of his country. I mean, how many people did God call out of their country? So Abraham's like, wow, the creator of the universe is calling me out of my country, and the creator of the universe wants me to follow him, and the creator of the universe is going to give me and my family a promised land. And he was feeling really good when God said, look up at the stars, and you know, this is what you're going to become. He was feeling great. And then he got afraid of his wife Sarah, that he'd be killed over her, and so he lied. His value had changed. He didn't see his value anymore. He felt he had to lie because his value wasn't there. And of course, once he lied, what happened to his value? It plummeted. And that's what happens with us, isn't it? We might be feeling valuable, and then we sin, or we blow it, and then our value then becomes less. And then because our value is less, it's so much easier then to blow it again. And so we get into this cycle of just blowing it. And it's so hard to recapture that, because we feel we've got to make up for it somehow, which is impossible with God. You can't make up for anything. But we try. We try studying our Bible. We try, you know, we try really hard to do it. And you know, it's just a value issue. Does our value change? Well, I know that's what you're saying, but it does. It doesn't really change. I mean, in God's eyes, it doesn't change at all. But why is it changing in your eyes? You know, every day we face this gauntlet of value, this daily risk of being overwhelmed by sin and fear and insecurity and lies that we believe, because we tend to believe these lies. You know, we say we're valuable. We know Jesus loves us. Jesus died for us. We have all this intellectual knowledge. But if it's simply head knowledge, if our heart is saying something different. And if we're following our heart and we're believing our heart, as deceitful as the heart is, what good is it to have head knowledge? We're not going to make any progress here. You know, God will see us as worth over $87 million, and all we see are a bunch of paint swatches on a wall. Because that's how we feel. And of course, what's more important, to believe God or to believe our feelings? And we put a lot of credence in our feelings. Well, I feel this way. You know, I'm struggling because this is how I am, and I feel. And so we get into a bad value position, honestly. Well, let's talk about Egypt. Let's go to Egypt. Do a little history here. What were the Israelites doing in Egypt? Anybody know? Let me ask the teens again. You didn't know about the paint swatches. These are the teens? These guys will know. How about the teens in the corner there? Okay, let me go to the corner first. What were the Israelites doing in Egypt? You have to really talk up. My hearing isn't too good. They were slaves. What were they doing? Slaves doing what? Yeah, with what? What were they actually making with their hands?
Bricks.
They were making bricks. They were brick makers. Why were they in Egypt making bricks? What happened here? How'd they get to Egypt? Well, there was a famine. Who told them to go to Egypt? Did God tell them to go to Egypt? No, it was just this good idea, I guess. They just decided to go to Egypt. Egypt had food. Well, as it turned out, it was really serendipitous, because who was in Egypt when they went to get food? It was
Joseph,
who happened to be one of the sons, the treasured son. And what was Joseph doing in Egypt? Was he a slave? No, he's actually running the country. He was a very wealthy man. So he said to his dad and everybody, hey, come on, we're going to give Pharaoh, actually said, give him the best of the land, give him everything they need. So the family became very wealthy in Egypt. They were doing well. So what was their value like in Egypt? They were feeling great. You know, the son is in charge of everything. They had the best of the land, the best of everything. So they're doing really good with their value. I guess they decided to cling on to it, because what were they doing there after 500 years? You know, they overstayed their welcome. Because even Abraham was told by God, your family, your people will be mistreated in a foreign country for 400 years, but then I'm going to bring them out. You know, after Pharaoh died that knew Joseph, and after Joseph died, and after the people are looking at the Israelites kind of funny, wouldn't you want to leave at that point, Egypt? Wouldn't you want to go back to the promised land? But they didn't, because they got too comfortable. See, they were pursuing their value over God's promises. And they just stuck around Egypt. Well, that turned out to not be a great idea. Because what were they doing in Egypt? They were slaves making bricks. That's not really too good. Because then your whole value becomes tied up in brick making. So for 400 years, over 400 years, they were making bricks. And what happened to their value in their own eyes? It was shot. How did God feel about all this, about them feeling this way? He didn't feel great. He sent Moses, right? And of course, Moses' value was never tied up in brick making. He was raised in Pharaoh's household. So he didn't feel that way, or did he? When God told him to go, what did he say? I can't go. Who am I? I can't speak. And God's like, who made the mouth? You know, Moses just didn't see his value. God saw his value. God said, I am sending you. I am sending you. They go, but I can't. You see how we all get messed up with our value. God says something and we argue with the creator of the universe. How's that working for you? We're not going to win this battle. But we tend to believe whatever we feel, the value we feel. And so Moses did the same thing. In fact, at one point Moses said, if this is how you're going to treat me, go ahead and kill me. Because he was trying to lead God's people, and God's people weren't really following him. And so he was very emotional at this point and said, if this is how it's going to be, just kill me. He just didn't see his value. God saw so much more value in Moses than he saw in himself. But anyway, God said, well, I'm going to rescue him out of slavery. Anyway, value or no value, I believe that the people are valuable. In fact, they're so valuable, I'm going to plunder the Egyptians and do these plagues and send them out of Egypt with wealth. And then they get to the Red Sea, right? And the Egyptian army on one side and the sea on the other. And of course, it's drama. God loves drama, doesn't he? So the churning sea on one side, and the Egyptians coming, and the people do what? God will take care of this. Just wait. No, God loves drama. The Egyptians, the water. People are like, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. You know, well, they see their value. We're all going to go, oh, you brought us out of Egypt just to kill us here? Again, struggling. You know, God wanted to show them no value, so he gave them the Ten Commandments. These are the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments are all about God's value. This whole lesson is about teaching us value. You shall have no other gods before me. Why? Because God is invaluable. God is beyond value. God is God. You shall not make for yourselves an idol. Again, God is value. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. All the others are about our value. It's about your value. Look at this. Well, we'll get back to the Sabbath day. You shall not murder. Why? Because people are valuable. You're valuable. You shall not commit adultery. Why? Because everybody's value. You're valuable. Amen. You're not going to do that. You're valuable. Why would you do that? When you know your value, you're not going to do that. You should not steal. Why would you steal if you knew your value? It's all about it. You don't need to steal. You have everything you need. You should not get false testimony. You shall not covet. All these things are about our value. But the most interesting one is the fourth. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. This is profound. Because the Jews had been slaves for over 400 years. And when you're a slave, do you ever take a break? Do you ever get a day off? You never do. And after 430 years, your value is so tied up in brick making, you cannot even conceive of you being any value whatsoever. And so God commanded them, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, he commanded them to, most of you don't have the slide.
Come on, Jim.
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do no work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter or your male or servant, male or female servants, nor your animals. This is what's really amazing. How valuable are animals? If God wants the animals to rest, the animals are valuable. Isn't that amazing? Nor any foreigner residing in your towns. God is actually having to command them to take a break. They're like, no, we have to work. No, take a break. No, we have to work. No, yeah, I got to take a break. You're so valuable to me. We're not valuable. We're slaves. No, take a break. It was an argument. In fact, God felt so strongly about them taking a break. He said, if somebody violates the Sabbath, what's supposed to happen to them? People don't want to say. They're supposed to be stoned, eliminated, taken out of the equation. You know, when you're a slave and your value is all in brick making, if you can't make bricks, you're taken out of the equation. That's what happens to you. The Egyptians don't want you eating their food. You're producing no bricks. So you're gone. You're out of here, buddy. And so God is flipping it completely around and saying, you need to rest. If you don't rest, you're taken out of the equation. Because that's how valuable you are to me. Your value to the Egyptians was all tied up in brick making. Your value to me is completely different. It's just because you are you.
Amen.
After 420 years of brainwashing about bricks, it got into their DNA so deeply that they couldn't see their true value in God's eyes. They struggled. And it's the same thing we do today. We struggle so much with brick making. Our value, does it come from brick making? I know you're saying no, but in your heart it does. We struggle with this. God wanted them to know they were so much more valuable to him than anything the Egyptians had ever conceived. It's just because who they were. Not what they could do, not what they could produce, but who they were. Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's all about our value in God's eyes.
Amen.
The message of rest was so important to God. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And it's so important that he actually started the Sabbath day with rest. When does the Jewish day start?
Friday
night. The Jewish Sabbath starts Friday night at sundown. And what starts in 3,000 years ago when the sun goes down, what happens to your brick making?
It stops.
You got to take a break, right? So this thing about Sabbath is so important that he said you're going to start with rest. You're going to start the day with rest. Every single day starts with rest. That's how important rest is to God. And why is rest so important to God? Because you are who you are, not for making bricks, but because you are who you are.
Amen.
Just because you are.
Amen.
That's who you are. Today we cannot get our value from brick making, but we do. We tend to see ourselves as valuable for how we can help people, what we can do for other people. We look at other people for what they can do for us, and their value becomes what they can do for us, how kind they are to us, how meaningful their relationship to us. And so we're caught up. We're a value-based society. For men, I'm just going to speak for men, okay? For men, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I strong enough? Am I man enough? What does my dad think? What do other men think? I mean, I've struggled. I think, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands because I'm pretty sure all the men in this room, we've struggled with that. We've struggled with our value from all these questions. And of course, that's just Satan. He just wants us to struggle and feel of so little value to God and his work. Satan wants us all bound up in our brick making, how many bricks we're producing, what our value is to society, what our value is to God because of how much we can do and how much we can be this and do that. And I mean, I've really struggled with this. I mean, honestly, I put these scriptures together, and I have done this message before, but I didn't want to do the message. I did not want to produce this. I didn't want to talk about this because I knew something deep down inside was really wrecking with me emotionally. And you know, with men, we're not in touch with our emotions very well, and I'm a typical guy, not in touch with my emotions. I said, I can't do this message, so I decided not to do it. Because I was wrestling with my emotions and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I started looking at these slides like Exodus 19:3. And I have it up here. The Lord called to him out of the mountain saying, thus you should say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you should be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you should be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Treasured possession, born on eagle's wings. How valuable are they? How valuable were the Israelites? A treasured possession. He's saying you're not a kingdom with priests, you're a kingdom of priests. They only knew the Egyptians had these really high and holy priests over there. Now God is saying you're all priests. You're a kingdom of priests. Isn't that amazing? Deuteronomy chapter 7. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more numerous than other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you are the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you. You're a treasured possession, not for any other reason. Not for any other reason except that God loves you.
Amen.
Why me? Because. Amen. What have I done? Nothing. What could I do? It has nothing to do with that.
Amen.
God loves you. It's amazing that, how am I a Christian? How did this happen? I mean, I was so blind. I grew up in a church. I grew up believing in God, but I wasn't a Christian at all. I remember sitting down with somebody studying the Bible, and they said, "Well, we're all sinners." I said, "I'm not a sinner." Come again? I said, "No, I'm not a sinner." I remember the person studying, "Have you ever lied?" I go, "Yeah." They go, "That's a sin." I said, "It's a sin? It's a sin to lie?" Well, that was the beginning of me realizing I wasn't a Christian. And I'm thinking, how did I get to become a Christian? I was so blind. I was so proud. I was so arrogant. I mean, I was a college student, just on my way. I just wanted to just have everything the way I wanted to have it. My whole life was planned out. I knew where I was going to retire even. And yet God is just humbling me. Just because I'm valuable. You know, Satan is constantly telling us our value comes from what we do.
Right.
And how perfect we are. And how fruitful we can be. You know, what really has been hard for me wrestling with this message of value with God, how valuable I am in God's eyes, what it really came to a head was the last 12 to 14 months. So a little over a year ago, I had three crises that happened at the same time. I had a physical crisis. I had a bad ski injury that left me in a wheelchair. I had a professional crisis, a leadership crisis, and I had an emotional crisis. And I needed to get help. All those crises happened at the exact same time. I was leveled. I could do nothing. I was struggling so badly that this is why it's so hard for me to talk about value. I remember sitting down with Sam and Larry. And they said, "Well, what can you do?" And I said, "Well, I can pray. I can read my Bible a little bit, although it was hard to read the Bible. I could only read happy stuff. I couldn't read anything other than happy stuff. And I knew I could pray. I said, I can go to church. I know I can sing. But I can't teach. I can't preach. I can't help people. I can't encourage people. I can't counsel people." And this went on for months. I had to go on disability. And, you know, when all your brick making is taken away and all your value in brick making is removed, and you just have you and God, you know, it really is a very humbling place. And I had to encourage myself saying things like, "Well, at least I can be a greeter at Walmart." Because I didn't believe that I'd ever be able to teach him. I mean, it's a miracle in here, honestly. It is. I mean, my therapist said, "You're one of the lucky ones." Because it was so bad, it could have gone really, really. That's it. And I pretty much concluded I may never be able to do what I love again. I tell you, that's tough. But I can say at this point, it's the best thing that ever happened in my life. Because now I know my value is not in brick making.
That's right.
My value is not. My value is not because I can come up and give a message. My value is not because I can sit down and counsel people. My value is not because I study the Bible a lot, or because I pray, or have powerful prayers. My value is just, I am.
Amen.
Not for what I've done, not for who I am. I just am. I'm God's treasured possession. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't see the treasure. What am I? I'm just a sinful, prideful, lustful, arrogant guy who just God happens to love. I'll tell you, this has radically changed my life. You know, I want to close out with, I couldn't get the whole scripture on here, so you'll have to turn to Matthew 13 and verse 44, because I want you to read this.
Amen.
Matthew 13, verse 44. And I know I'm not the only one in the room here.
Yes.
If this message isn't making any sense at all, that's fine. Someday it will.
That's
If you're feeling kind of low, I want to encourage you. That's where it starts. But it doesn't end there. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. I think all of us have shared this with people we're studying the Bible with, and what we do is we say, look, the kingdom of heaven is of great value. When you realize how valuable the kingdom of heaven is, when you realize how valuable Jesus is, when you realize how valuable salvation is, you're willing to do anything to get it. You're willing to sell everything you have just to get it, because the kingdom of heaven is that pearl of great price. That kingdom of heaven is that treasure hidden in the field. But at this point in my life, I see it very differently. And I believe, for me personally, I believe that when Jesus said it, he meant it differently. That the pearl of great price is not the kingdom. The pearl of great price is you.
Yeah, amen.
The pearl of great price, the treasure, is you. And when Jesus saw how valuable you are, but I'm a slave, and I'm a slave, I'm a wreck, I'm nobody, I can't even do anything, I can never get. When Jesus saw your value, not in what you do, not in your brick making, not in how impressive you are, when Jesus saw how valuable you are, just because it's you, just because it's you, imperfections and all, just because it's you, all your flat sides, all the weird stuff, all the mistakes. When Jesus saw you, just because it's you, he sold everything he had to buy you. He gave up everything he had, even his will. He gave up his will, gave up his body, gave up everything just to get you back.
Amen.
How valuable are you that Jesus would die for you? You know, if God traded Jesus for you, that makes you as or more valuable than Jesus. If God traded Jesus for you, he never trades down. He always trades up. And Jesus, in his joy, because you are so much more valuable, and so God, when he viewed you, you're so much more valuable than even his son. And Jesus said, you're so much more valuable than even my will. That God traded up. He traded Jesus for you. How dare we listen to Satan's lies? How dare we every day judge our value by how we feel and how good our sin or lack of sin or is, or not sin, purity, or our perfection, or our Bible study, or our prayer life? How dare we tell God a lie that we're not valuable when he's given his only son to die for us? How dare we do that to God? Why are we believing a lie? Because everybody does. That's not good enough. We're disciples. We've got to believe the truth. We've got to go back to Scripture.
Yeah.
We have to know that we're valuable. Yeah. Even though you don't feel valuable, declare it anyway.
Amen.
I am valuable.
Yeah.
Sure, it's not because of anything good you're bringing to the table or all this talent you're bringing to the table. I remember thinking that evil thought. It's embarrassing to think this. Before I got baptized, I'm like, well, I'm bringing a lot to the table at least. That's how arrogant I was. So God keeps humbling me and humbling me and humbling me. Because I guess I just need a lot of humbling. Look at how valuable you are.
Amen.
That God would trade Jesus for you. You know, this is a game changer for me. I hope it's a game changer for you.
Amen.
Because knowing how valuable I am in God's sight, it just changes my attitude about everything.
Amen.
It's like Bible study. I crave it. You know, knowing I had no valuable, no, you know, brick-making value for so long, for so many months, and then suddenly realizing that I'm valuable anyway, I just love Bible study. I love praying. I love sharing my faith. I just love sharing my faith. I just want people to know how valuable they are. I just keep looking at people like how valuable, and then I keep thinking how little value they see in themselves. And most people work this way. Sure, there are some really arrogant people out there that really see that they're all puffed up and they see themselves so valuable, but you know, I have trouble really believing that that's consistent. I think they have to make themselves that, because at night in the mirror when they see themselves, they go like this. I think everybody knows that their value can't come from anything other than God. And until they get God in their life, they won't feel valuable. But once they get God in their life, they feel valuable. And isn't that the mark of a true disciple of Jesus Christ, that he follows Jesus in every single way, including value? That the mark of a true disciple of Jesus Christ is they see their value, not in what they do or what they've done or their talents, but they see their value in just who they are. That they see so much talent, that they see Jesus trading his life for them, and they feel so valuable. I feel so valuable. I am so grateful, so grateful. I just can't stand it every day. People are like, how are you doing? I'm so grateful. I'm so happy. Some people even look at me weird because my smile doesn't go away. I just can't help it because I just see God values me. I'm alive.
Yeah.
And so I want to help people. I want to share. I want to do all this stuff. It's a game changer.
Amen.
You know, when you know the truth, your true worth to God, you can't help but love him. When you know your true worth to God, your true value to God, you can't help but love your wife. You can't help but love your husband.
Right.
You can't help but love your kids. You can't help but love your enemy.
That's
you
right.
Can't help but love the guy that's at work that really is driving you nuts. This is a game changer.
Right.
Let us never again believe the lie that your value is based on how you feel or what you think. Let's always embrace the truth that our value, just like this crazy painting, are you going to go back to Egypt and see your value in this? Or are you going to go through the Red Sea and see your value in the hundreds of trillions of billions of dollars just for you? That Jesus would die for you. Let us be those disciples that believe the truth about our value to God. Amen.